I was younger than you are now. When I was given my first command, I led my men straight into a massacre. I witnessed their deaths firsthand. I made every mistake.
Hi, I'm Elaine Maiman, president of Governor State University in the south suburbs of Chicago, and I'll be reviewing Hamilton by Ron Chernow. Lin-Manuel Miranda's musical Hamilton is the hottest ticket in Chicago and New York, and the prices are high. But everyone can afford $20 for the book that inspired the entire Hamilton phenomenon, Ron Chernow's biography of the nation's first Secretary of the Treasury. Miranda read the biography on his honeymoon, and from that moment, the concept of the musical took form. So for the price of two Hamiltons, that's two $10 bills featuring Hamilton's portrait, you too can be inspired. I guarantee that you will also be uplifted, moved, and informed by this book. I read it and I thought to myself, I know I studied American history in high school and college, but this book opens up amazing new ways of seeing the founding of our nation. Until Chernow did the momentous research that led to the book, Hamilton was just a name from the early days of our country, someone killed in a duel, a face on the $10 bill. In fact, before Chernow and Miranda, Hamilton's face was about to be replaced on American currency. There's a song in the musical that goes, "Who lives, who dies, who tells our story?" In Hamilton's case, his widow, Eliza, outlived him by 50 years and undertook the monumental task of organizing his voluminous papers. But historians did not pay sufficient attention to these archives until Chernow. Here are just some of the many things I learned from Chernow's biography. Of all the founding fathers, Hamilton was the one most emphatically against slavery. That opposition came from his youth in the West Indies, where he witnessed the slave trade firsthand. This book left me thoroughly amazed that the colonies won the Revolutionary War. I knew vaguely from school trips to Valley Forge that George Washington's army was a group of ragtag volunteers, disunited, underfunded, and underfed, but I did not fully understand how close we came to losing. As Washington's right-hand man, Hamilton spent much of his time writing letters to the Continental Congress in an attempt to embarrass them into providing even basic supplies. At one point, Hamilton writes, "We are eating our horses." Washington's overall strategy involved surprise attacks and retreats, all designed to make the war too expensive for England to maintain. It worked, thank goodness. Hamilton did not like being an aide-de-camp, even for George Washington. Hamilton wanted a command. He finally got one at Yorktown, the final battle of the war. Hamilton was the chief author of the first extended interpretation of the U.S. Constitution, the Federalist Papers, which set the foundation for our constitutional democracy. Thomas Jefferson, formerly my personal hero, hated Hamilton and did everything in his power to discredit him. But when the election of 1800 moved into the House of Representatives, Hamilton became the chief decision maker whose influence was essential to the winner, and that would be either Thomas Jefferson or Aaron Burr. Hamilton put aside personal grudges and exerted his influence on behalf of Jefferson. Hamilton said that he would rather support someone, Jefferson, whose principles he disagreed with, then support the other guy, Burr, who had no principles. It was Hamilton's choice to put patriotism over party that led to his losing his life in a duel with Burr in 1804. Our state and nation could benefit from Hamilton's strong principles. He understood, perhaps more than any other founding father, that compromise is essential to democratic government. The U.S. Constitution would not exist without compromise. If Hamilton had not been there, it's doubtful that the United States today would be one nation indivisible. Another famous compromise involved an agreement reached by Hamilton and his two archenemies, Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, to establish the Bank of the United States in New York in exchange for making Washington, D.C. the permanent U.S. capital. The three got together in a room and worked out a bargain. In the musical, Miranda memorializes this compromise in a song, The Room Where It Happened. Might I suggest that Illinois state leaders find such a room, make a compromise, and break the endless budget stalemate? One more point about Ron Chernow's Hamilton. It's a great story. It reads like a novel. It is also extremely well documented with primary sources. Every history class at every level should engage students with strong, well-researched narratives like this one. I'm proud that Governor State University is a site of the Library of Congress project that prepares teachers to incorporate firsthand documents into their instruction. After all, as the song in the musical says, history is determined by narrative. Who lives, who dies, who tells our story. As soon as you can, obtain a copy of Ron Chernow's Hamilton, a powerful story of revolution that is highly pertinent today.
You have no control. Who lives, who dies, who tells your story? I know that we can win. I know that greatness lies in you. But remember from here on in, history has its time.